Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us. And today, later this afternoon, is IU Men's Basketball Media Day. It'll be done virtually this year, which means I'll get to hear from Archie Miller, lots of players on the lineup, and we'll be able to give you some of that audio. And, of course, a lot of what you hear today, you'll read later in stories and hear on radio and podcasts for the next few weeks as we really begin to take a look at this IU team for the upcoming season. It seems like when we finally get to Media Day that basketball season is almost here, and so excited to learn about this team after a long and very interesting offseason. And maybe we'll find out more today about some early season games. Who knows? But I would say definitely you can plan on some sort of updates and news coming out of the IU program once Archie's talk and some of the players are available to the media later this afternoon. You're going to see all kind of IU preseason content and reports on what goes on at Media Day. Always a fun day, always kind of the kickoff to the season, and let's hope we continue to march on to college basketball starting with games officially on November 25th. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Lots of basketball stuff today, college hoops. The Blue Ribbon Yearbook came out yesterday. It's always one of my favorite. It's almost like the Bible of college basketball in the preseason. They didn't have a terribly favorable thoughts on Indiana, though, as far as how they stack up in the Big Ten. We'll talk about that. We'll talk some recruiting. There's some college basketball stuff going on with eligibility. Perhaps another year of eligibility could be given to players. That decision could come soon. We'll talk about that. We'll talk some football notes. We now know the kickoff time for Indiana's opener. We also know it will be a Saturday game on October 24th. It was kind of up in the air. Would it be a Friday or Saturday game to begin the season, but we now know that as well, and more coming up here in the opening segment brought to you by Zaxby's. Then later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, that segment presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk some IU hoops and other things with Greg when he joins us today. And then later we'll close with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll talk more about the specifics of Media Day and what are some of the questions that he has for Coach Miller, for the players, and just generally surrounding this program as we start to move toward the start, we think, we hope, of the 2020-21 college hoops season. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Don't forget, send me a question or comment. It might get read, used on the air today. You can tweet me and follow me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also email the show now, your question, your comment, your thought, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. First headline is the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. Always a fun deal to get in advance of the college hoop season. And they've got an online version available now, but there's nothing like the print version. It's a big, thick book, a magazine-style book that has every conference and previews on the teams. And again, it's way early preseason look, but Blue Ribbon is one that I trust and one that I subscribe to and read every year. And I think it's worth the money. I think it's as accurate as you can be with this sort of stuff. A lot of good information, a lot of reminders on who's back and newcomers and other things for each team. But to be honest, they don't think terribly highly of Indiana. They've got Wisconsin winning the Big Ten. They've got Iowa second, Illinois third. So no surprise in the first three or four, Michigan State is fourth. Really, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois, depending on the publication, have been at the top of the conference, really as number one or predicted to win, whatever you want to say. Michigan State fourth, Ohio State fifth, Rutgers sixth, Minnesota seventh, Indiana eighth, Michigan ninth, Maryland 10th, followed by Purdue, Penn State, Northwestern, and Nebraska to round out how they see the Big Ten Conference, the order of finish for this 2021 college hoop season. They're top 25 overall in college hoops this year. They've got Wisconsin at number 7, Iowa at number 8, Illinois at number 11 in their top 25, Michigan State 19th, Ohio State at number 21. Again, Indiana not in their top 25. Luka Garza of Iowa, they have him as a preseason first-team All-America pick. That's pretty consensus across the board. Ayo Dosunmu of Illinois, he also is on the first team with Luka Garza. Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana, they project him as a third-team All-America. Kofi Coburn of Illinois, he's on the fourth-team All-America in the preseason. Blue Ribbon tabs Luka Garza as Blue Ribbon Big Ten preseason player of the year. And they project that, Joey Hauser, a transfer from Marquette, is the conference newcomer of the year. I forget about him, playing for Michigan State now, transferred from Marquette, picked to be the conference newcomer of the year. Also, Trace Jackson Davis, obviously, as a third-team All-American, is on the preseason All-Conference team by Blue Ribbon as well. So just some interesting notes. Again, we've talked about a lot of the different preseason mags and publications out there. This is one of the good ones. I'm not sure about the eighth for Indiana in the order of the Big Ten finish that they project, but still some good stuff there. Look forward to reading through all the big conferences. Another college hoops headline, Purdue, with a release that came out yesterday that right after our show yesterday, that it says, due to contract tracing protocols, from the COVID-19 pandemic, the Purdue men's basketball team will not begin practice on the first day of allowed practice, which is Wednesday, October 14th. So the full practice, normal practices in college hoops, the date for that this year, Wednesday, October 14th, and Purdue will not be playing. The release from Purdue goes on to say, quote, Purdue's first official day of practice will now be October 21st. More details about media availability will be distributed at a later date. So no real details there. We don't know if someone on the Purdue men's team has COVID-19, and so therefore others in the program have to quarantine and contact tracing protocols have to take place, or maybe somebody on the team was around someone that had it, someone else in another athletic program or another part of the Purdue campus. Who knows for sure, but we do know Purdue will not get to start their practices tomorrow with most of the rest of the country. They will have to begin on October 21st due to some contract tracing protocols around the pandemic. Also, Jeff Goodman reporting that there will be a vote today or possibly tomorrow on whether players, men's and women's college basketball players, should get an additional year of eligibility. They did this for the spring. They did this for the fall. I'm not sure what the thought is, if this will pass or not pass when this council gets together. It's the NCAA Division I Council on whether this will for sure pass, but you would think it would have a good chance with spring and fall both passing. Obviously, last year, everybody lost the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. A lot of players lost the chance to play in conference tournaments at the end of last season. Some tournaments got close to the end. Some got just barely started. Some didn't even get the opportunity really to start at all. And this year, you know, there's the thought, the question, what will it look like? What will happen? How many games of the scheduled contest will actually be played? How many will be canceled because a team has to quarantine or a team is unable to play for a few weeks? And the NCAA and their principles of playing this year during a pandemic has got some pretty strong, I think it's a 21-day period. If you are exposed to the virus and test positive for the virus, that you have to set out. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I would think that this would have a chance to be approved. I know that colleges, this could be a budget concern for them with scholarship players you think are leaving a year earlier, maybe back in for another year of that expense. But it's going to be interesting, and it sounds like we'll know something today or tomorrow on that. That could really change some programs greatly. There will be a lot of players that, whether they're a senior or not, whether they've expired their eligibility or not, they'll be done with college. They'll be ready to move on. But there will be a number of players at Indiana in the Big Ten Conference at all levels of college hoops that will want to stay around and experience that extra year of eligibility. And so it's going to be interesting to see if this is approved and how schools individually and conferences individually handle it if it is approved. Also recruiting, another name. This is a cool name here. I believe it's Favor Air. He's from the DMV area, which is the Washington, D.C. area. He attends high school at Bishop McNamara, 6'11", center. He's a member of the 2022 class, so a junior this year. Really, his recruiting is just really taking off. He's hearing from Indiana, Louisville, Georgia, LSU, Maryland. Pittsburgh is schools he listed in a recent 247 Sports article on him as serious. He also told in that story that he recently completed a Zoom call with Indiana. They were able to show him the campus and what the lifestyle and the school environment are like at Indiana, although it was virtual through Zoom. So another name to keep on the list of growing out-of-state prospects. And again, interesting, another player from the D.C. area, and guess who has great connections from a recruiting standpoint to that area? Obviously, new co-associate head coach Kenya Hunter, who's now an assistant for Indiana basketball. Also, just a shout-out here, former IU basketball manager Lawrence Frank. He's now the president of basketball operations for the L.A. Clippers. He was named the 2019-20 NBA Executive of the Year. So congratulations to him. A strong IU basketball connection for Lawrence Frank, a former manager at the school. And a couple football notes as well. The Big Ten confirmed yesterday that Indiana's football season will begin on Saturday, October 24th. And the game against Penn State at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington will kick off at 3:30 p.m., and it will air on FS1. There was some question whether it would be an October 23rd or 24th start. The game getting the nod for October 23rd is Wisconsin-Illinois. That game is going to be played as the opening game of conference play, 8 p.m. on October 23rd. So good to see Indiana's on Saturday. I like that middle of the afternoon kickoff. Keeps us away from high school football on Friday night, which is a pet peeve of mine. Love to see those separated, and now we know the details, at least on the start time of IU football. Also, IU football reporting yesterday, no active COVID-19 positive cases. There have been four total since September 17th. A total of 3,106 tests with just two student staff positives and two players positive, but no current actives for the IU football program, which is great as we get closer and closer to the start, finally, of Big Ten football for this fall 2020. That's a look at our headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Again, IU Basketball Media Day coming up later this afternoon. It's really not open to the general public, but later this afternoon, later this evening, I'm sure the audio will be available. You'll be able to hear what Coach Miller and some of the players had to say. You'll get the opportunity to read lots of stories coming out of IU Basketball Media tonight. We'll have some of that audio for you Wednesday and Thursday on the show as well. Archie's scheduled to speak to the media at 2 o'clock today. Trace Jackson Davis, Christian Lander, Al Durham, Jordan Geronimo, Joey Brunk, Armand Franklin, Rob Fennessy, Anthony Leal, Jerome Hunter, Trey Galloway, all players expected to talk to the media this afternoon as well. So we get a full rundown to hear from this IU team for the upcoming season. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star always joins me on Tuesdays, and this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Just a reminder, when you're in downtown New Albany, you're still near a Coffee Crossing. Come visit our new store on Main Street, again, located in downtown New Albany. Greg, lots to get to. IU Basketball Media Day later today, which is always exciting. We'll learn more about the team, get the opportunity to ask Coach Miller, lots of players as well, questions about the upcoming season. And there's a big vote coming, it sounds, today or tomorrow on whether college basketball players could receive an additional year of eligibility due to all the craziness that's gone on and continuing perhaps to go on in this pandemic, and just so many other topics to get to. So I want to start with basketball first. Are you going to zoom in for the IU Media Day today? And if so, what's your burning question for Archie Miller or a player about this upcoming season for IU basketball?
Well, truth is, I'm not going to zoom in on it, so I'm just not going to do it. Listen, college football players, they're getting the extra year of eligibility, correct? This year doesn't count?
No, there's a vote. This is according to Jeff Goodman, a vote today or tomorrow by the Division I Council on whether winter sports athletes should receive an additional year of eligibility.
Right. I'm asking you about football, though.
Oh, yes. The spring and the fall athletes so far have received an additional year of eligibility.
Then I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's the difference. Now, if the college football season had kind of been cut short, or we all think, hey, it's not going to last more than a week or two, you might say, well, that's different. But the college football season's rolling along. Teams have played four or five games, and the Big Ten's about to start. Anyway, it's got to be uniform. What you can't do is have some athletes get an extra year, but the same exact school year, some don't. Either this year is kind of weird and freaky and not what anybody signed up for, or it's not. And clearly it is weird and freaky and not what anybody signed up for. So I think there's no way around that they're going to give them all an extra year of eligibility. And just like in football, I'm sure that means giving a few extra scholarships. You know, your maximum won't be 85. It'll be something else for football. And for basketball, 13 will be 15 or 16. But the irony in that is that colleges can't really afford to carry that many players on scholarship. I mean, the virus has, you know, limited TV money and everything else, and Lord knows ticket sales. So anyway, it's like everything else about this damn virus, it just has raised questions that are so, I mean, there'll be an answer for it. It just won't be an easy one, and it might not be a good one, but you know, there's, your choice is not very good. As for burning questions for Archie, I would love to know if you tell us the truth, is just, what are we, you know, how good is Trace Jackson Davis going to be? Cause he's, you know, I like the idea of that answer because I think he's going to be really special.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. You know, going back to the eligibility, the additional year, I know it will really vary by school. And I guess, I don't know, I guess if the NCAA, like with spring and fall, and if they approve winter as well, I think, isn't it ultimately still up to the individual school if they want to accept that or offer that to their athletes?
Yeah, it is. And it's, I feel like it's one of those, you know, recruiting deals where if you are a school that doesn't give your players that extra year, it'll be used against you because a lot of schools will give that extra year. It's just, I kind of think for that reason, and maybe, I don't know. I'd like it to be uniform for everybody. I don't like the idea of some schools saying this, some schools saying that, because that'll be a recruiting issue also. And it'd just be nice if what's best in general, then let's do that. Let's not leave it up to each individual school because I don't trust individual schools. I'd rather have a blanket rule on that one. By the way, you asked me before the show, like you always do, is there anything I want to talk about? One thing I forgot to tell you is I've got a story in the paper tomorrow. Well, no, paper Thursday. It'll be online tomorrow on Ron Felling. Remember Ron Felling?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Very charming, charismatic guy, and clearly a famous, borderline infamous former IU assistant, I guess not even borderline, because of the role he played or might have played or is rumored to have played in Bob Knight's departure, the whole Neil Reed video and how they get their hands on that at CNN. Did Ron Felling leak it? Anyway, I spent some time with Ron. He still lives in Bloomington, And it was a lot of fun to be around the guy, and he's worth spending time with. He's not a bad guy, and he's not a bitter guy.
We'll look forward to reading that. Greg Doyle, yeah. Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Continuing on some college basketball stuff, I saw a release yesterday right after we went off the air that Purdue is going to have to delay their practices, the official start from tomorrow, to at least October 21st because of contact tracing protocols going on. You don't know if someone on the team had COVID. You don't know if someone on the team was around someone that had COVID, so there has to be tracing done. But we assume something nearby happened because they're going to delay the official start of practice, which is a big deal to lose basically 1 week of college practices during the preseason time, especially. You know, college football, you talk about it rolling on. I think we've had, 6 weeks now of college football and getting ready to actually start the Big Ten soon. Major League Baseball, there were some problems early. The bubble in Orlando, I know it was indoors, but, you know, there was millions and millions of dollars and tons of protocols and that just don't work with college athletes, as you and I have discussed. But I'm going to be interesting to see how the indoor stuff goes. I'm talking high school basketball. I know we've had high school volleyball. I think there have been some issues, nothing major, but there have been some issues across the state with certain teams at times. But I'm really going to be interesting to see how college hoops and high school basketball work with indoor practices and so much, you know, not just the crowds, but the players. I know there's closeness and contact in most every sport, but, you know, Purdue already delaying for a week. I'm going to be curious to see how all this goes. I know we've talked about this hundreds of times, it seems, but I just feel like it's different when it's an indoor sport.
Yeah, it's clearly the stakes are higher. The risk is much greater indoors. The thing about it, it's the asymptomatic carriers that we know that's the thing. And you can, you know, I can be asymptomatic and have it and not know it. And I can play basketball against you and pass it to you and you all of a sudden have symptoms and you're very sick. So it's not like, well, if I'm asymptomatic, I'll give it to you and you'll be, and it doesn't matter. No, that's not how it works. So it's dangerous. It's a risk for everybody. We all know that. I think, the biggest risk will be if they allow very many fans inside these enclosed spaces. And clearly they're not going to sell out the buildings and they're not going to fill them up, but how many do you even allow in there? Because what they're finding out is that the 6 foot rule is wrong. It's not, you know, they thought 6 feet was kind of, as long as you keep 6 feet away, you're okay. And there's now research that says, well, it turns out these particles can go more than 6 feet, which is not a surprise. And if you're inside, you got, you know, the air conditioning vents, whatever, blowing air around, it's just going to go more than 6 feet. So hopefully they will limit how many people can watch the games. And that sucks. We all get that sucks. Everything about this sucks. You know, the way to look at this season, what you were saying about Purdue and how they're going to miss a week, I'm reminded of one of my really good friends is an athletics director at a school up in Zionsville. And she was telling me how she talks to her kids, both, you know, athletes and her own kids that play sports. And she just tells them that, you know, this season, whatever we get is a bonus. It's just, you know, because, you know, back in March, April, even in August, you thought maybe none of this is going to happen. At least you're playing anything. And it's hard to look at it that way when you're a fan of a college sports team, and I'm sure presidents and ADs aren't going to give their coaches a free pass and say, hey, this year's a bonus. So if you go 4-20, you're not going to get fired. No, you probably will. But I think as far as fans go, we kind of need to look at this season as a bonus. And, yeah, we kind of hope obviously you hope your team wins. But if we get games at all, if Purdue gets games at all, if they can play, whether they miss a week or not, I mean, yeah, again, competitive balance is what it is, and it won't help them. But I mean, just if we're going to beat games, it's all a bonus. And that means the players on the court getting to play. It's just this is a bonus what we get, whatever we get.
I saw Jeff Goodman. He had a video on his Twitter talking about the eligibility issue that's going to come to vote, but also talking about this season in general. And he said, you know, he's talked to a lot of coaches that are concerned that they'll get to 20 games, and some even concerned that they will get 13 games, which I guess is the minimum that you have to play to be eligible for the postseason for the NCAA tournament. You know, I'm kind of surprised. I know there's a fear about this. Obviously, there's a concern of health and safety. I get that. But looking at the other examples of sports, and you mentioned college football earlier, I don't even really want to include the NBA because there's such the bubble was just amazingly set up and funded, and they had so many things that you don't have for high school or college sports. But so many other sports, there have been some cancellations or some odd things. We've got a Tuesday night football game tonight, the first one that's been played on a Tuesday in like 70 years because it's essentially a makeup game that had its date bumped back some. But I'm surprised that, according to Jeff, there is that kind of fear. I could see, yeah, you don't want to lose some games or you don't want to see your team get quarantined for a couple weeks, but to maybe have concerns about getting 13 games, the minimum in, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, the rosters are so small, so if you lose 10 players, you're in trouble. But the thing about it's contact tracing, what Purdue's going through right now. And again, a lot of my things I think and know or feel or whatever are obviously informed by what others tell me who are in the middle of it. And the same person, the AD up in Zionsville, was telling me how their volleyball season a couple weeks ago, they had 2 weeks left in their volleyball season, and one of the players' brothers came down with symptoms, and that kid had to get tested. And if that kid had been sick, then the kid's sister, and through contact tracing, the entire team would have had to be quarantined for 2 weeks. And if that's the case, their season's over. So the entire team, I'm getting chills thinking about this. I don't know why, but the entire team, their entire season is based on one kid's COVID test, and the kid's like 5 years old. Doesn't even, you know, it's, but that's what contact tracing is, and it's that important. I'm not saying it's not. So that's why college coaches are concerned about getting to 13, getting to 20, because as we talked about, playing basketball indoors, practicing every day indoors, and then these kids are going to go to campus, and they're going to go to class, and they're doing virtual stuff. They're college kids. They're going to see people, and they're going to see people in close contact. So I'm with what Goodman's saying, and what he's hearing is that given the setup of a college campus and the testosterone of kids and how they're going to live their life, and then contact tracing, if just one kid comes down with it, your whole team your whole team's out. Like, look what happened to the New England Patriots. One player tested positive, they shut the whole thing down for a couple of days. And another player tested positive, they shut the whole thing down for a couple of days. Well, that's going to happen to a college basketball team. A player's going to test positive for some state school somewhere, and the entire team is going to be shut down because contact tracing says you have to do that. So it's, 13 is going to be tough.
I've said this before, maybe even to you, because we've talked about stuff surrounding the pandemic and sports so much in this Tuesday segment, but I was thinking about it today driving here. You know, it's IU basketball media day, and I don't go to Bloomington all the time. Busy schedule, so easy to watch the games on television. But media day is something I've always went to and enjoy seeing the other media members. Obviously, you get a lot of great information on the team, and obviously it's different this year. It's going to be done by Zoom, which so much of what we normally do from a media perspective or press conferences, availabilities is now on Zoom. But here it is, media day for IU basketball, and we don't know a schedule. We don't know only spotty things with the non-conference schedule. We know very little about the Big Ten, where, how the games will be played, what the schedule will look like. We do think it's going to be a 20-game conference schedule. It's been out there pretty strong. But there's so many things that we just don't know, and normally these things are known months ago. Some of the events you get included in or asked to participate in college basketball, you know a year or two ago. But here we are literally a month and a week, a month and 2 weeks, something like that from the tip-off of the season. And I know once we start finding it out, this stuff will come quick, fast, and furious. But it's amazing that it's media day time. And we're going to talk all about this IU team, and everybody's going to ask Archie Miller every detail about what's been going on in the offseason and what he thinks about this player and that player. But some of the major things in college basketball, we don't have a clue right now, which is just crazy.
Yeah, because you've got 300-something teams at the highest level, so 150 or so teams. They're all trying to get the same thing. They're all trying to scramble for games. They want home games. Nobody wants to travel. And you've got a bunch of schools, Louisville and Duke, just two of them that we know about. There's no telling how many there are trying to form their own little miniature bubbles. And we're going to have a bubble, and we're going to bring in eight teams and spend a weekend playing three games each. And, you know, the team, everybody, but do you have a bubble? Do you go in their bubble? And there's a bunch of ego involved, and Kentucky doesn't want to go to Louisville's bubble and vice versa. So, yeah, it's scheduling is never easy, but scheduling, when you compress it down to the amount of time they've had to do it, which is very little, and then you factor that they're all racing each other, and then, of course, you multiply that by the ego of college basketball coaches. They all want it their way. They don't want it some other guy's way. And someone's going to have to swallow their pride and play games they don't want to play because it's the only way they can get on the schedule. Is, okay, then I guess I will go to, you know, I'm Vanderbilt and I will go to be in Tennessee's bubble or whatever. I mean, people are going to, they're going to have to hold their nose and do some things they don't want to do. But until they absolutely have to do that, no one's going to sign off on it. So, you know, it's kind of like a college kid. You give a college kid, you tell him his, like my son, he drives me nuts, this kid. He calls me all the time and tells me, yeah, I've got a paper due. It's 2,000 words. It's due tonight at midnight. He's calling me at 8:30. How far are you along until I'm not? I guess I probably should hang up now and start writing it. Okay, Jackson, you have 3 weeks, but okay, go do it. Of course, that kid will then get 100 on it. That kid, he's here. Real quick about my son. When my older son graduated college at Bowling Green State U up in Ohio, we're in the crowd, you know, watching him graduate. And Jackson, my younger one, is a sophomore. And certain kids have certain sashes and yellow robes and, you know, I don't know, the tassels, whatever. The colors are different things. And he's asking, what is that color over there? There's like a handful of people wearing this, whatever the color is. What does that mean if they graduate with that? And somebody next to us, because I had no idea, someone next to us said, oh, that's for the kids that have a 3.9 GPA. And I could see the wheels turning in Jackson's head, like, okay, I'm going to get one of those. And at that point, he had like a 3.5, I think. And he hadn't made a B since. Not since. And wow. He's racing time, but he might get up to a 3.9. What was the point of all that?
I got a question, though.
Is this procrastination.
Is this the same son that left you with the snake?
Yeah, he's not that smart, is he? Yeah, he's dumb enough to leave me with his 6-foot reptile, but he's going to go get all A's. Yeah, that little weasel.
But back to procrastination. I know.
Yeah, so when the schedule simply has to be done, you're going to see a big reason it's going to get done. But until then, everybody's posturing and trying to get what's best for them. So nothing's going to come out until it absolutely has to come out. And because it's going to come out so fast, I suspect we're going to see some issues. So there's going to be some teams announcing some schedules and realize, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't work because you're not going to be in the state that day. I suspect that's going to happen because that's how fast it's all coming together.
Yeah, interesting times. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I want to close today with a non-sports thing, which we do so often. And I somehow missed it. I read almost all of your columns. I follow you on Twitter. I look at the Indianapolis Star website, utilize my subscription there daily to follow guys like you and Kyle Neddenrip and Zach Osterman. But you had a column that really had nothing at all to do with sports, and it's about an actual phobia that you have and other people have. And I've heard of this before, of sounds from people eating. And you got a big response, a big feedback from this column that's available if you're a subscriber on the Star website.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. It's called misophonia. There's a name for everything, and I can see people out there rolling their eyes because there really is. There's a name for everything, but it's not necessarily, well, it's not only the sound of eating, but that's the most obvious one. But if you certain noises bother you, for some people it's the sound of a typewriter clacking away, or it's the sound of whatever. It's different. Noises make you angry, and for me, and for a lot of people that have this, it's food noises. And this is not just a thing. This is not just, well, yeah, we all think it's rude to chew your mouth open. No, this is not that. This is irrational anger. This is like a fight or flight, like I got to get out of here or I'm going to beat somebody up if you keep eating those chips in front of me. I mean, it's weird. It is a weird deal. But I know there are people listening right now that know what I'm talking about, that deal with it. And I guarantee you there's at least one person out there going, wait a minute, I'm not alone. No, you're not alone. This is a real thing, and I spent my childhood hiding in the bathroom when my parents ate dinner because it just drove me nuts, and they don't know why this happens, but I look back on it. My parents were the year that I hid in the bathroom to avoid dinner was a year that my parents weren't talking, and I didn't realize, you know, that was 40 years ago. I don't remember this, but my parents have told me, you know what happened that year, don't you? No, I don't know what happened that year. Well, they told me that was the year they were not talking. The divorce was coming. We didn't know it as kids. But you could sense it around the dinner table. It was quiet and awful, and then all I could do is hear my parents chewing, and I had to get out of there. It made me miserable. To this day, I hate the sound of chewing. And again, I'm not alone. And one more thing I'll say about this is that I thought I was alone until I was about 32 years old, because I'm reading a story in Sports Illustrated about John Gruden, and he's a really weird dude. By weird, I mean he's kind of like me. He's just a weird dude. But I like him, but he's weird. And one of his weird phobias in the story they wrote about was that the sound of his aunt eating food, his auntie eating food, drove him away from the table when he was a kid. And even to this day, he has to, you know, his wife gets mad at him because he makes faces at her when she starts chewing loudly. He can't help it. I read that and thought, him too? Because that's the first time I realized that my thing, because my wife used to tell me, of course, we got divorced, and this is probably one of the reasons, but she used to tell me, hey, just get over it. To which I've always said to people, oh, is it that easy? Oh, don't be depressed. Just smile. Oh, is it that easy? Why didn't someone tell me? Don't want to have that drink? Just say no to beer. Don't quit smoking. Just put the pack of cigarettes down. Oh, is it that easy? So, yeah, this topic, and real quick, I know we got to go, but the whole thing started, and you read the story. I saw on Twitter this beautiful little video of a beaver, of all things, eating a big pile of cabbage. Mm-hmm. Someone had shredded cabbage. The beaver, it looks, it's just adorable. It's got little hands and shoving cabbage into its mouth as chewing, and it's making all kinds of noise. And I'm just loving it. And it dawns on me, but you hate the sound of eating. Why do you like that? And I don't know. But so I tweeted out the video and said to people, you know, normally if you eat like this around me, I'm going to hit you in the head. But I like this beaver eating. Go figure. And that got an enormous response from people saying, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. And I thought, I need to write about this because people need to realize we're not alone. So there you go.
Well, Greg, I get more feedback on our segment, your segment, than basically any other one we have each week, at least the reoccurring segment. So I don't have any question that I'll have some emails or tweets or something saying, hey, I have that same phobia Greg does, so I'll let you know how that goes next week.
Yeah, and if you get at least one that says, I didn't know I was alone, I thought I was alone until I heard Greg say it, save that one or save 10 of them if you get 10 of them. And we don't have to read their names out loud or anything, but just I want to be reminded of that next week. Someone out there realizes right now they're not alone. That makes this whole thing worth it.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I always enjoy it. Thank you so much.
You know, and something that never bothers me is the sound of drinking that dark chocolate coffee at Coffee Crossing. It has never bothered me once. I just want to say that. Okay, have a good day, man.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Speaking of Coffee Crossing, with so many meeting places unavailable these days, you can turn to Coffee Crossing. All five of their locations have warm, inviting seating available. New Albany, Jeffersonville, and Sellersburg, all with Coffee Crossing locations. We'll get ready and head to a commercial break as we do. I mentioned this yesterday. I was proud to vote for him, but Silver Creek coach David Pappenhaus was officially named by the Indianapolis Colts as the Colts/NFL Coach of the Week for the state yesterday after his program's big 42-14 win over Brownstown Central, of course also bringing them the first ever Mid-Southern Conference championship and 10th season of football at the school in Sellersburg, Indiana. Congratulations to David Pappenhaus. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com on IU basketball. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com with me. We're going to talk IU basketball in this segment. Mike, it's media day. We all look forward to the chance to hear from Coach Miller and a lot of the players. And as we do that, I saw the Blue Ribbon yearbook came out yesterday, and Indiana projected 8th in their order of finish in the Big Ten Conference. It just was another reminder. We've had lots of them this preseason about how good and how deep and some of the talented players in the Big Ten Conference this year.
Yeah, I mean, 7th, I think, was the average that I had come up with before that. So 8th is just one spot off that, and it just shows that a lot of optimism about this Indiana team, but yet an outsider's perspective puts it right in the middle of the league. That shows you, you know, the real depth. I don't know if there's a super team, but there's a lot of four or five teams that anybody could be projected to be the winner in the Big Ten this year.
You know, we see Trace Jackson Davis pretty consistently listed as not just one of the top players in the Big Ten Conference. He was first team by Blue Ribbon, but also third team in the country for college basketball this season, an All-American. I know he's going to have a good year. I know he's going to be Indiana's leader. We know he's got NBA talent. We know what his year was like last season. But any word, any rumors, any leaks out of Bloomington about just how much he's improved? We've seen some IU guys, and you normally see that level of player take some big jumps in the off season. But thoughts on what he could do and what he will do for this Indiana team next year?
Well, I think he's improved his shot, at least in workout situations. It's a whole different game when you go 5-on-5 against competition at a high level of, you know, of defense. But, you know, I've heard he's worked on his jumper and also with his right hand. That was a real weakness for him, to go to the right and use that offhand. So if those two things can happen, he will kind of live up to the hype that a lot of people are building him for first team All-League.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. We're talking IU basketball. With Media Day today, what are some questions you have for Coach Miller or any specific players you're looking forward to getting the opportunity to ask questions of about the upcoming season?
Well, one of the more things I'm most curious about is how they integrate Christian Lander. Is there more shooting on this team? And I think they've tweaked the offense maybe to allow for some more open looks. And I think it's also curious who may end up playing the most minutes up front alongside Trace Jackson Davis, whether that's going with more size and experience in Joey Brunk or Race Thompson, a little bit more mobile, high motor guy. I guess they both play a lot, but it'd be interesting to see what direction Indiana might go with the personnel this year up front.
We heard Archie Miller and Don Fisher in a podcast where Coach Miller pretty, excited about this team. I'm sure every coach in the country at this point is excited about the upcoming season and their team. But what did you take away from that and some of the things he had to say about this year's potential?
That's the impression that I think she'll do better than seventh or eighth in the league. And so that's going to be interesting to see if that comes to fruition. One thing he has is this is his fourth team. Therefore, he's got the kind of personnel that fits his system, the guys he really wanted, not the guys he inherited. And they did, have a good enough season to have made the tournament last year if it had there been one. And he does have a go-to guy and better guard play than he's ever had.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Don't forget Pegs.com for full coverage of IU basketball and IU football. Of course, Mike and Jeff Rabjohns and Matt Weaver, who specializes in football, regular guest on this program. Also, recruiting. I want to get into a little of that with you today. Earlier in the show, I mentioned another name, a new name for me, when it comes to IU recruiting in the class of 2022. I think I've got the name correct. It's Favor Air, and he is from Bishop McNamara in the Washington, D.C. area. It seems like Indiana getting more and more involved in players from what's called the DMV area around D.C. And, of course, I'm sure some of that has to do with Kenya Hunter being hired as an assistant coach. He's got great connections in that area to recruiting and coaches. Do you expect that Indiana will continue, when you look at the state of Indiana, always probably first? Do you expect that maybe that part of the country could become an area that Indiana regularly has players from? Thomas Bryant was from that area. Maybe that becomes an area outside of the Midwest that Indiana recruits often and has players from often.
Yeah, I think it'll become more like it was when Kenny Johnson was an assistant under Tom Crean, when landed a long list of players from the DMV area. They've been recruiting that area. Bruce Flynn has strong Philadelphia ties. That's where he grew up, and that's not far from the DMV area. But they weren't able to really, land somebody from there. But Kenya Hunter's ties are even stronger. He successfully recruited a lot of players from there. He's worked on the Georgetown staff. He has a lot of experience in that area, such that they've already offered many players, especially this 2022 class I'm getting to. And Favor Air is just one of several, and they got a real early early offer in, so they have an excellent chance to kind of rebuild that pipeline.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, to close out, we now know officially that the football season for Indiana will start on a Saturday, and it will be a good afternoon kickoff, 3:30, going to be on FS1 against Penn State. I was thrilled to see the games actually on Saturday, especially in the middle of the afternoon, as opposed to competing with football, and that would be sectional football on that Friday as well if it had been a Friday night game.
Yeah, we actually thought it might be a Friday night game. Indiana was already going to, if they had started the season, have a game like that at Wisconsin, and then the way Tom Allen had talked, they were, seemed like they were expecting a possibility of a Friday night game, but that did not come. And 3:30, you know, really the best time for a game, though. Again, this is a new world, and you don't have to worry about all the fans tailgating and all that. But yeah, it's a good time. It's a great opportunity for Indiana to play a top 10 team. In kind of a weird environment where that top 10 team might not know, you know, exactly what's working for them right off the bat. So it's a real good upset chance for Indiana, especially since they have a big time quarterback in Michael Penix and a lot of guys back.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, we look forward to your coverage of Media Day. I know it's going to produce a lot of content, and we'll have some of the audio from players and Coach Miller later this week on our show starting tomorrow. But fun event, fun times, and we hope college hoops is here. It seems like it's getting closer. Let's hope that it all works out and all tips off. But we look forward to what you have to say about today's comments.
Yeah, things are going to get exciting in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks for the chat.
Take care.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, as we wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget, you can always join us after the fact as well. If you can't make the live program each day at 11 a.m. here on the Big X, you can find us as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on SoundCloud as well, and other platforms that maybe you listen to podcasts on. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can subscribe and you can listen for free, and we appreciate all of you that do tune into the podcast each day. That's going to wrap it up for this Tuesday program. I'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.